Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to dive in deeper to something we talked about last Sunday in John chapter 3 and Nicodemus' response to Jesus. Without further ado, let's get started. Last week in our sermon, I introduced Jesus' ministry, and we looked at three things specifically: Jesus' baptism, Jesus' temptation, and then Jesus' opposition. And specifically, we looked at how one religious leader responded differently than most of the rest, and that is Nicodemus. And so today, I wanted to explore this a little bit further as we look at John chapter 3 and what this means for us. As we consider Nicodemus, it's very interesting. You know, in the darkness of the night, when everything seemed quiet, it can be easy to feel isolated in our struggles and doubts. I don't know about you, but sometimes at night I wake up and just, for whatever reason, can't go back to sleep. And this invariably allows my mind to race and think of the struggles and the doubts that I have in my life. But you know, just like a lighthouse guides ships to safety, truth can illuminate our path, leading us through the fog of confusion that often occurs. Nicodemus was a respected religious leader, and he found himself in such a moment of seeking as he approached Jesus under the cover of night, yearning and wanting to understand. And it just makes me think, have I ever had a moment of seeking truth and guidance in a challenging situation? And the answer is yes, and I think you would probably answer the same way. And so I started thinking as I was reading this passage again this week, what prompted me during this time of searching to reach out for understanding? And I think what it really is my desire to know God more. And I think that desire is in all of us. And it was certainly in Nicodemus. So let's unpack this story a little bit more, part by part. First, looking at the first two verses. And this is when Nicodemus reaches out to Jesus. So if you're following along, open up your Bible to John chapter 3. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Now there was a man of a Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God was not seen in him.'" Let me stop right there. Jesus was doing some miraculous things already at this point. And Nicodemus, who was a religious leader, as it says, a respected religious leader, so a man of stature in the community, of the Jewish community, saw these things and knew that Jesus was more than just a man. And this really, I think, reveals in Nicodemus something, that he was open to what God was showing. And maybe all of those religious practices and studying of the scripture had really sunk in his life. But as a ruler of the Jews, there was certainly this desire to maintain that ruling class. And so Nicodemus probably would have been torn, whether it was just for social standing or maybe potential internal conflict, to really question, who is this Jesus? And I think that's why he comes. He was coming to learn more and to really seek answers. In verse 3, Jesus picks up the account with him, and we see that Jesus drops a major truth bomb. Starting in verse 3, it says, "In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.' Nicodemus says, 'How can a man be born again when he is old? Surely he cannot enter the second time into his mother's womb to be born?' Jesus answered, and maybe with a chuckle like I just gave, 'I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to the spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.' 'How can this be?' Nicodemus said." Let me just stop right there. Jesus had dropped a major truth bomb on Nicodemus. And yes, Nicodemus was seeking truth because he understood at least enough to know that Jesus was not just a mere man. But it was interesting because he was seeking the truth, but Jesus brought the truth, and yet Nicodemus was very confused. He responds to this concept of being born again with his focus on the tangible, the earthly, the human understanding of this spiritual matter. See, Jesus was bringing the truth from a spiritual perspective, but Nicodemus was not looking in that realm. And this is so often the case. When we seek God, we come at this from a very physical nature. And this is natural. We are human, after all. And that is where our mind is initially set. But we must, just like Nicodemus, as we come to seek the truth, we must have our eyes open to the spiritual nature of the issue. Jesus was telling him very simply, you must be born again. You must surrender yourself to the spiritual nature of why Jesus came. He came to save us from our sins and set us free. But Nicodemus, like so many of us, was focused on the physical. His response initially shows us that his eyes were looking in one direction, and Jesus was clearly talking about another. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, born again is connected to this identity in Christ. And that is really what coming to the saving relationship with Jesus is all about. This word repentance is really a recognition that we must surrender the ways we've been trying to do things to make things right, these earthly ways, and we must focus on the spiritual nature and the surrender of our heart. See, Jesus came to save our heart. God is always looking at the inward, and man is always looking at the outward. And this idea of repenting is recognizing that I can't do this my way. I must come and be surrendered to Jesus. It is essential in our spiritual walk to understand and recognize that our spiritual birth is necessary to be surrendered to Jesus. It's not an option. And so it's no surprise then that Jesus' entire ministry and really his battle with the Pharisees over and over again is surrendered around this concept. The Pharisees had created a way that they thought could get them right with God, and they stuck to that to the very end. But Jesus came and said, you can't do it on your own. You must come and surrender spiritually your soul to Christ, and then watch how your physical is transformed. After Jesus drops this truth bomb on Nicodemus, and Nicodemus clearly misses a large portion of this, we can see, starting in verse 10, Jesus responds. Verse 10 says, you are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things. I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Verse 15, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So Jesus takes this, he unpacks this and says, listen, it's not just for this earth's saving that I come. No, I come to save your eternal life. And he points back to something that the Pharisees and Nicodemus certainly would have understood. And this was Moses, as he lifted up the serpent as instructed by God in the Old Testament, as a way that snake-bitten Israelites would be able to look up and be saved. He hoped that this would help clarify, and really he's foretelling of what is to come, right? Jesus is saying, I must be lifted up. I must be crucified on a cross too to save you spiritually. This passage really tells us two things. It tells us, number one, about a connection between faith, which is believing in that which we cannot see, to salvation. See, at this point, Jesus hadn't died on the cross, but he's telling Nicodemus, listen, that must happen. This is going to happen. You must repent. You must turn from your earthly ways and focus on me and recognize that I am bringing spiritual new life. And this is an incredible connection. The second is this, is that Jesus is going to sacrifice. He is the sacrifice. He is, yes, man, but he is also fully God. And because of this, he's going to live the perfect life and be sacrificed and on the cross for our sake. And by the spilling of his blood, we will be set free. This is an incredible picture that Nicodemus gets a bird's eye view. And you know, even at this point, I'm not sure that Nicodemus fully or possibly could fully understand what was happening. But he was being challenged. He was being challenged. Was he going to place his faith in his earthly, physical understanding, or was he going to place his faith in Jesus Christ? Well, in the remaining verses in this chapter, Jesus gives Nicodemus the choice. And I want you to hear these points, starting in verse 16, where Jesus clearly says why he's there and why he came, and then gives us the choice as well. Starting in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Stop there. Eternal life starts the moment we place our faith in Jesus. Our life is changed here on this earth, and then when we pass, whether that is by natural death or by when Jesus comes back again, we will be with him forever. But it doesn't start when we die. It starts when we come to know him. Verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Stop right there. Gotta stop. We have a choice. Jesus came, died for us, rose again, made a way that we can come back in right relationship with God. And he didn't come to this earth to condemn us. Oh no. The sin that we have is more than enough condemnation. It is our choice to be living in that sin. But if we would place our faith in him, we can rest in the fact that he has already paid our way and we are given eternal life. It tells us, "For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn it. Whoever believes in him is not condemned." In other words, if you believe in him and place your faith in Jesus Christ, it is no longer as if you sin. Even though we know we do, God has forgiven us. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has denied Christ. Catch that? That's now, that's forever. We have a choice. Nicodemus had a choice. Verse 19, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil." Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Light has come, Jesus has come into the world, but men love darkness more. Verse 20, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the faith comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly and that what he has done has been done through God." Jesus came to bring hope, but in this process, Jesus came and he is the light, and exposed sin and what it does to us and the result of sin. But he died on a cross to pay the sin penalty that we couldn't pay so that we could come to Jesus and know him and have a personal relationship with God. In closing, I just want to leave you with this. Friends, you have that same choice. Have you chosen to follow Jesus? Have you chosen to surrender your life, to repent, to turn from your own way and realize that you can't do it and you need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior? I pray that you have. If you haven't, I would ask you to just comment on this podcast or send an email into Grace Community Church. You can send it to grace13245@yahoo.com and somebody will be in touch with you. And if you know Pastor Gary, me, and if you know me and you attend our church, stop me and say, "I want to know Jesus for sure." And I will take the time to guide you through that process. But maybe you do know Jesus, and maybe you have placed your faith in him. And so the question I have for you is, how are you living this out? Is your life a reflection of the love that Jesus showed by dying on the cross? Are you choosing to pursue light? See, once we come to Jesus, that's not the end of the story. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we have a place in eternity, but Jesus didn't die on the cross just to save us, to give us fire insurance. He died us, as the Bible tells us, to have life in the abundance. And in John chapter 15, he gives us an explanation of what that is like. It is remaining in Christ. Jesus says in John chapter 15 that he is the vine and we are the branches. In other words, we're tied into him and we can only get life-saving salvation and ability to live this life in a holy way through him. We must stay connected. And this is involved in a number of ways, one of which is reading our Bible and being devoted to understanding it. Two is by praying. Three is by worshiping him. Four might be to attend a local church on a regular and consistent basis. I would challenge you every single week to be in a Bible-believing church that is leading you before the throne and helping you understand what it means to follow Jesus more clearly. Well, I hope this message today has encouraged and equipped you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. And as always, if there's anything we can do, just let us know. And until next time, have a great day.
You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.